as we come together on this evening, continuing, as always, to give God thanks, glory, and all the honor, giving us this opportunity to come and to look at His Word and to do those things that are pleasing and acceptable unto Him. We continue this evening to wrap up the lessons on Does God Know You? Does the Lord Know You? And as we consider it, looking at the idea of doing the things that God would have us to do in order to show Him that we do know Him and that we are willing to keep His commands. Jesus made the statement unto His disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He also asked the question, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things in which I say?" We need to consider both of those, that statement and the question. And we need to ask ourselves, are we keeping the commandments of the Lord because we love Him? And as we call upon His name, are we doing the things that we're supposed to do? So we're going to continue this evening. We started out at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5 on this morning, looking at what He told His disciples as He set them down and talked to them. He gave them some instructions, and the instructions dealt with allowing, as the brother prayed, allowing your light to so shine before men that they may see your good works, and to glorify the Father who is in heaven. We're going to continue, and we're going to look at Matthew 5, and we're going to start with verse 38. Matthew 5, starting with verse 38. And as we look at this, we need to understand the importance of loving one another. The Lord knows how you behave as you love one another. It says in Matthew 5:38, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Now many of us, you know, we want to go back and agree with that. We want to go back and say, "You have done this to me, so therefore I'm going to do it to you." I was looking, or shall I say, I was listening and looking, more listening probably, as I was trying to close my eyes at this man on television, and he was talking about getting revenge for somebody or tooth toward someone. And this is what he mentioned: an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And the lady said, You must not really believe in God's word." And that's all she said. I was hoping that, you know, they had really went and read the script and that they would have said exactly what the word of God says. But there was just an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that's what his mindset was set on. And that's what the world looks at today. "But I say to you," and this is our Lord, "do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." It deals with love. Understanding the importance of doing what is right before or to your fellow man, brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to understand that when we look at the scriptures and we see something as they would go back and look at the old and say, it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that we need to listen to Jesus as he says, but I say to you, but I say to you. You know, I was thinking about that today, and I was recalling on the many times where we want to play mom and dad against each other. And they would go and the child would ask the mom something, then they would go and they would ask the dad something. And then the child, whatever the mom said and the dad said something different, the child would run back to the mom and the mom would say, but what did I say? Actually, it was the dad. And there was some consequences to be paid for you trying to play both parties against the other, one against the other. So we have to look at the word and we have to say, we're going to do what Jesus says because he's the one that we love. He's the one that we say, Lord, Lord, come to my aid. And he only comes to those that are doing what they are supposed to do. And so we need to take all these things into consideration as we look at them and we continue, because we find it real easy to tell those that we have, you know, some type of relationship with on a daily basis that we love them. But look what the Bible says, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. What does that mean? That you must be perfect. Well, let's think about it real quick. It's very simple. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that God loved those that crucified his son? You mean to tell me that God loved those that were disobedient unto him in the days of those individuals in the book of Judges and through the book of Kings, that God loved them, the children of Israel? Yes, he loved them. He loved them enough to send his son. But you know, we find it hard to love somebody that does something against us. We find it hard to not just love them, but we find it hard sometimes to just look at them. God is looking at us right now. And he's probably, you know, as we think about him looking at us, and a lot of us have this ideal that, again, I've been in worship today. I've done what was commanded of me to do. I assembled together with the saints, and I tried to provoke somebody to love and good works. And we look at that and we think that we've done enough. We have some people out there that don't like us. We should love them. We should care enough about them to set them down and talk to them, to let them know that God loves them as well. It is not their actions that or not that person or that soul that we're looking at. We're looking at their actions and we dislike their actions. And we love that soul. We love that soul enough to tell them that we must be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Is that saying that we or without sin? That we have never sinned? No, that's not what that's saying. We know that the Father has never sinned. But we all have fallen short. But we can be perfect before him if we would do what we're supposed to do. So we have to love one another. We have to love one another. It is commanded for us to love one another. And here's the thing that we look at. As we look at Matthew chapter 6, and again, I appreciate Brother Mark's prayer, because he was talking about as we pray for one another, not just here in the assembly, but as we go to our private places to pray, we continue to pray for one another. And it's a must that we do these things. But I want to go back up, and I want you to look at this. And I want you to think about it, because we find it easy to talk about our enemies, talk about the person that does not like us, so we say, and we call them our enemies, as they are truly our enemies, because they are talking about us as well. But we're no better than they are if we stoop down to their level. But Jesus says this, going back up to verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love them and pray for them. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing? Because there is hope for them. There's a time for them to turn their lives around, turn their lives over to God, accept what the gospel says, and be obedient. It's time for them. But let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's just stop there just for a moment. We do a lot of things for a lot of people. Each one of us. Sometimes we do it as a collective group, and sometimes we do it as individuals. It's nobody's business what you do. Nobody's business what you do. It's between you and your God. The person that you're helping, and we've seen this, we may help somebody to come through those doors by individual basis, or, you know, it may be a brother in Christ, and it is giving something out of the collection or out of the treasury to that individual. And what happens, we don't have to say a word. We don't have to say one single word, but you know what happens? Somebody else come through that door. You know why they come through that door? Because that person that we helped went out there and told somebody else, West End Church of Christ will help you. That man over there, that woman over there will help you. We don't have to say a word. But you know what happens from time to time? It may not be that person that's telling what we call our business. We're telling our business. And we are not supposed to go out and toot our horn when we're helping somebody. We help them. We help them. You know, we can tell somebody about helping someone without telling them who we helped. Y'all understand that? Because we want others sometime to realize that they too need to be helping. We need to get other people involved in helping others. But again, we need to understand that tooting our own horn or blowing the trumpet to let everybody know what we're doing, you have already received your reward. Oh, I helped Brother Glenn. You know, Brother Glenn was running around naked and he needed some clothes, and I helped him out. Well, what kind of reward am I going to get? What kind of glory did I really get? Or, you know, recognition am I going to get for telling people that Brother Glenn was running around naked and I gave him clothes? And we know Brother Glenn don't need no clothes. And sometimes when we say naked, we're not talking about yet naked. We're talking about just something needing something else to wear. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But when you do those things, it's nobody's business. Nobody's business but yours, God's, and the person that you're helping. And let's remember that. Let's not allow the left hand to know what the right hand is doing. See, there are sometimes people want to take notes and say, well, such and such did this and such did that. Those notes may fall in the wrong hands. You know what's going to happen when that happens? Somebody's going to say, you didn't help me. It's nobody's business. It's nobody's business. So that you are given may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, all this right here, giving to the needy, has nothing to do with giving to the treasury, giving to the local congregation. That's not what this is dealing with. So don't go out there and help somebody and say, I helped them out there, so I don't need to give here. That's the wrong answer. And we can talk about the collection in another sermon. Your prayer life, though. Look what it says in verse 5. And when you pray, as the brother stated, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. That's great, isn't it? Now, I want us real quickly, and it shouldn't take you that long, examine your prayer life. How many times a week do you talk to God? How many times a week do you talk to God? How many times a month do you talk to God? Better yet, when was the last time you talked to God? See, Brother Mark prayed earlier. He prayed for the congregation, and a lot of people said, amen. But when was the last time you prayed to God? When was the last time you talked to God? See, we need to understand that talking to God is necessary. It's available for us. We don't have the priests that go to God on our behalf. We have the right to go to God on our own behalf, and we need to. Now, that's all I'm going to say about prayer, because we're going to talk about prayer again next Sunday morning. Appreciate you, Brother Mark, for that prayer, though. You know, that brother, he's in the same book. When you read the same book, you know what you get? You get the same results. And that's what we're looking at on this evening. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. You know, no, we have a problem with forgiving people. Why do we have a problem with forgiving people? Because they didn't forgive me. Do they know that they've done anything to you? That they need to be forgiven? A lot of times, yes. But sometimes, no. I'm mad at that person over there. Wait a minute. Who are you telling? You need to go tell that person over there that you're mad at them. And they need to know why you're mad at them so that they may be able to correct it if they want to correct it. If not, you're still done what you're supposed to do. But look what the Bible says. Remember what's happening right here as we're listening to God's word. This is Jesus again speaking, and he's saying these things because his disciples came to him and said, you know, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. We want to know how to pray too. I appreciate Brother Colbert's prayer on this morning, because a lot of people will get up and they will look at the Lord's Prayer and they will pray this prayer and think nothing else about it. Think nothing about it. We need to look at the Lord's Prayer. Let's back up to the first beginning of it. And we have gone through this before in our sermons on prayer. But he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now you can read it, but this is not something that you pray back to God. Why? Because the kingdom has already come. It's already here, and I appreciate Brother Robert for that this morning. A lot of brothers would start their prayer out with Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and then they would change it up. And that's a great thing. They understand that the kingdom is already in existence. We are part of the kingdom. But for that man that is praying this prayer, which they call it the Lord's Prayer, which is just a model prayer, teaching them to pray. If you want to pray the Lord's Prayer, go and read John 17. Pray that prayer. But again, we need to do some substitution in there as well, because we are not Jesus. And it was his prayer. So we look at this in verse 14. It says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, So when will we be forgiven? When we forgive. When we forgive. When will we be forgiven again? We have to come to the Father and we have to ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him. Remember 1 John chapter 1, verse 9? You confess your faults unto Him, and He's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. That's God's word. And we need to look at His word and understand the importance of forgiveness. So are we forgiving one another? As the Father has forgiven us? Oh, well, I really can't find it in my heart to forgive you right now. What if God was like that? When we come and we say, you know, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm willing to, you know, submit to baptism to have my sins washed away. And He says, you may submit to baptism, but your sins are not going to be washed away. Let me think about it for a little while. It's not what the Word says, is it? But that's the way we are when someone comes to us and they ask for our forgiveness. Give me time. I just can't deal with you right now. Time is short. You know what type of time we have? We are on borrowed time. Y'all already know about borrowing something. You're going to have to give it back. If you don't give it back, brother, I know I still got your twos. But I didn't borrow them. You just let me have them. We need to understand, though, borrowed time. We do not have a time after this life to say, I still need to get some things together. This is all we have is right now. So when someone come to you, they trespass against you, you go to them, you tell them about that trespass, and they ask for your forgiveness, you forgive them. You forgive them, and vice versa. If they don't want to forgive you, you have already done what you're supposed to do. So let's remember the word of God, and let's make sure that we're living the way we're supposed to live. Then we find in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34, seeking Him. Seeking Him. Brother Theotis used to always ask me this question from time to time. He even wrote it down one day and put it in the box. Or actually, I think he handed it to me. He said, well, why do you always say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you? Why do you say that? And the reason I say it is because the scriptures say it. And we have to understand, what does this really mean? Seeking God first and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, let's back up to verse 24. Verse 24. That was verse 33. But verse 24. It starts out by saying, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot do it. Coming down to verse 25, he said, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? See, Brother Glenn, being a brother, don't have to worry about running around naked. Why? Because God is going to take care of him. How does God take care of him? Let's keep reading. It says there in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Think about it. How many birds do you see out there? Out there sowing things and reaping things and gathering into barns. How many birds do you see doing that? Here's what I see a bird doing. I see a bird out there getting a worm, digesting that worm, regurgitating that worm, and feeding his babies. He's not gathering things, or she's not gathering things. And generally, I guess it is the male that goes out there and hunts sometime and bring back the food. But I want us to understand that we, as children of God, are more valuable than they. And he says in verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you a little faith. Oh, you a little faith. I believe that we worry. We worry and worry and worry about things that we should just leave alone and see what happens. If God said it, we need to believe it. How many of you need shoes to put on your feet? How many of you need clothes to put on your back? How many of you need food to put on your table? How many of you need water to drink? How many? So we have to understand that if there is a member of the Lord's body in need, he says that God will take care of them. You know how he takes care of them? He takes care of them through what we're supposed to be doing and not out there tooting our own horn for doing them. We have a responsibility. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as you have opportunity to do good, you do good unto all men, especially those in the household of faith. You see your brother in need, you help him. Oh, you're quick sometimes to give that man on the corner $5, but what about your brothers? Or are you willing to give them $5? I don't have any money in my pocket right now, Brother Robert. Can you help me out? Man. I want us to look at this and I want us to understand that as he says this, he said, oh, you of little faith, I know he'll help me if he really thought I needed help. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, y'all haven't heard me say it in 2 weeks, but I'm gonna say it tonight. Justin and Dante, I love them. I love them dearly. But them boys can be sitting down to breakfast, and you know what they want to know? What's for snack? You give them a snack, and the next thing they want to know is what's for lunch. You give them lunch, and the next thing they want to know is what's for snack. You give them that snack, and they want to know what's for dinner. Then they want to know what we're going to eat tomorrow. Them boys love to eat. I'd much rather clothe them than feed them, I'm going to tell you right now. But they're not wanting for anything. You want me to tell you why? Because of Christian duty. Not Mamma and Papa, but because of Christian duty. We do what we're supposed to do. If we can't do it, there's somebody in here that's willing to do it. And we appreciate every last one of you. We have to know what we're supposed to do for one another. And this is the Word of God. This is not people's opinion. This is not what people think or what people feel. This is the Word of God. And we need to apply it to our lives so that God may be pleasing with us and that we may know how and we may show that we know how to behave ourselves before Him. Then we look at the last thing, judging. Judging. I love this section. I love it. I'm going to tell you why I love it. Because you see t-shirts, you see bumper stickers, you see posters. Don't judge me. Or God is the only one that can judge me. And you know where they're going to go? They go right to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not. And that's where they stop.
Amen.
That's where they stop. Judge not. I am glad that they can read. And what I would hope is they would continue to read, judge not that ye be not judged. So if you judge, you know what you better be ready for? You better be ready to be judged. Why? Because of what the word says. For with the judgments you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Oh, we can see some problems with people, can't we? We can see every fault that the next man has. And you know, we're really supposed to be looking. Let me tell you why we're supposed to be looking, because again, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Galatians chapter 6, when you see your brother caught up in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, consider yourself, lest ye also be tempted. So we need to look at the word of God, and we need to do what the word says. So what he says is, don't judge, period. He says this in verse 4. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First. How many of you know the game of baseball? If there's a first base, must be a second. There's a lot of people that get up on first base and they'll just stand there. Next batter get up and they hit the ball. This is for little kids, not grown-ups. But sometimes grown-ups forget too. They're so caught up in the game. Next batter get up and hit the ball and they're still standing up on first base. No, you need to move to second. So we look at this thing and it says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and let's just say this. First, you take the log out of your own eye. Second, then you will see clearly. Third, to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And the next thing you do is you go home. We have to know that we have things in our lives that we need to straighten out before we try to help the next man. I can't feed you if I can't feed myself. I can't clothe you if I can't clothe myself. But we have to know what we have. We should be willing to share with others. But this has nothing to do with what you have and sharing with others. This has something to do with getting your life right in order that you may help out the next man. See, God knows how we behave in judgment. He knows if our life is upside down. He knows if there are some things that not necessarily wrestling with, but some things that we have to fix in our lives. Here we are trying to help somebody else out. We have to go back to the Word. And we have to look at these things. And we have to know that our God is looking at us. And He's not the only one looking again. There's people all around, and not talking about other members of the church either. People out there in the world are looking at how you love. They're looking at your prayer life. You know, again, you know, we tell our children, you know, you go to school, or we teach them at home how to pray, and they pray for their meal, and then they go to school and they sit there and they pray for their meal. People are looking at them. They're looking at them, and this ideal of forgiving one another. You know, I'm not going to play with you no more. I'm mad at you. When we were little kids, we used to get mad at one another too, but the next day we've forgotten all about it. Nobody had to ask for forgiveness. That forgiveness was shown in our actions. Where we're loving one another the way we're supposed to love them. We're playing with one another the way we're supposed to play with them. But a lot of times we, as grown-ups, we do not know how to forgive. And we need to go back to the drawing board. We need to go back to the Word. And we need to say that I'm a member of the Lord's church because God has forgiven me of my sins. They have been washed away. And He tells me that when I mess up, I come to Him and I ask for forgiveness again, and He forgives me. We need to do the same. We need to act like we are members of the Lord's church. Let's not hold grudges. Let's not hold things over people's heads and say, oh, you know, I'm gonna leave this right here because I know you're going to do it again. I just can't wait for you to do it again so I can throw it up in your face. That's not true forgiveness. That's not forgiveness at all. And so we need to go back to the Bible and we need to look what God's Word says. And again, we need to do what is right. If you're here this evening and you are not a child of God, I hope that these things that we have talked about on the last 2 weeks will help you make up in your mind to become a child of God. Because we, not God, we need you. We need you. We need you in order to be a part of the kingdom, that you may grow and that you may continue to tell others. I was looking on Facebook and I saw where Brother Chris had the opportunity to baptize his blood brother today. You know, family is hard to get to sometimes.
Amen.
But his brother was added to the body of Christ today. And what we need to do is we need to understand how important our family is. Not just, you know, our physical family, but our spiritual family. We want our physical family, our blood brothers and sisters, to become part of the family of God.
Amen.
That we may grow in this thing together. And that we all may have the opportunity to get into heaven come judgment. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we want you to become one. We want you to come and we want you to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hearing the Word of God is just part of it. You have to believe what you hear. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to be willing to repent of your sins, have a change of mind. You have to be willing to confess Him. You have to be willing to submit to baptism and be baptized, immersed in a watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life. Growing, and remaining faithful until the very end. And if you fall short along the way, we're just not going to walk all over you. We're going to help you. We're going to talk to you. We're going to encourage you to turn your life back over to God before it is too late. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.